Good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Christopher. I'm one of the elders with Philip, who lead currently this congregation with Robertson as well. It's lucky to have the Robertson people here this morning. Apologies for my wife. She is in bed, not feeling well. So as you can hear, I've got a little bit of that, but I think I'm over it and she's now in the thick of it. So my wife is not feeling great. And then, a couple of leaders also sends their apologies. They cannot be here, some of the deacons and so. But yeah, it's wonderful to be with everyone this morning. And these prophetic words that have come out, it's amazing. It's amazing how it all fits together this morning of how the Lord is speaking. And that is the wonderful news, that God is speaking. Amen. Amen. So if you are here this morning, you are not here to listen to my sermon. I hope you will do that. But I hope that you will search for the voice that's behind my voice. Because I couldn't care less if you remember my preach or not. But what is important is that if God speaks to you this morning, that you would listen to Him and respond to Him. And regardless of where you find yourself, whether you are near to God or whether you are far from God, He is able to speak to you this morning. And so for the people sitting on this side, I hope you can see on that side where the scriptures and stuff are. So, and I'm gonna at the end of my preach, I'm going to give an opportunity for people to respond today. Accept it now, so that you don't get surprised. And I'm telling you that for someone today, responding today is life and death. Don't say for yourself, tomorrow I will pray a prayer, or later this week I will phone a friend, or I'll speak to someone. No, if God is speaking to you today, then today is the day that you need to respond to Him. Because tomorrow might be too late. The title of my message is this morning, The Prize versus the Price. The Prize versus the Price. And there's a picture of a group of mountain climbers. I'm not sure if it is Everest, but it's some high peak somewhere in the world that they've climbed. It doesn't look like Everest, though. So maybe Everest is a bit high. I can see at least that one is higher than this one. So they're not at the tallest point yet. am I the only person that would one day in my life like to climb Everest? Who here would like to climb Everest? Be honest. Come on. There's a few people, huh? No. Yo, rarig is actually. Or maybe you guys have done your homework and you've said, Christopher, you haven't done your homework. Because if you do your homework, you would not say something like this. All right. I would one day, at least if I can't climb Everest, I would like to climb Kilimanjaro or something. I would like to have that experience. And I've read a book. The name of the book is Into Thin Air. It's an account of a group of guys that have climbed Everest and things went horribly wrong. And it's an amazing how some of them actually remained alive and stuff. But climbing Everest is like one of those things in life that only literally a handful of people get to do it. For me, if I want to climb Everest at the moment, I would need a minimum. And this is a minimum. It's probably double this. I would need a minimum of 1.5 million rand, just financial money that I would need. I would need probably not just months, but maybe 1, 2, 3 years of intense preparation of a plan that you need to follow, that you're going to train yourself. You need to train yourself physically. You need to be in top condition, in top shape. You need to be mentally in top condition, in like the best possible state that you can find yourself in, mentally, emotionally. You really need to be at the top of your game on all your levels, soul, body. Out of 100 people that has climbed Everest the last 10 years, 1%. For every 100 summits, one person dies. So you've got a 1% chance of not making it. Okay, 1% doesn't sound like a lot, but what if you are that 1%? And I've heard people say that when they climb Everest, because the snow is always there. So probably the scary thing is, and I've heard people say this, that as you climb Everest, as you get to the death zone, the bodies of people that have died, actually they remain there, and they so you're actually confronted with death as you climb Everest. It's not the most dangerous mountain. There's other mountains that are way more dangerous to climb than Everest. So Everest is not the most dangerous mountain to climb. And it takes 2 months, roughly 60 days from to get to the top and to get down. So you would need actually a good job that allows you to take 2 months of full leave. And then all that for a maximum of 15 minutes at the summit. 15 minutes at the summit. And for me, this is a picture of the price versus the prize, or the prize versus the price. What is the prize in climbing Mount Everest? Well, number one, you get to say, I've been on the tallest mountain in the world. I mean, that's the prize. I've been there for 15 minutes, but who cares? I've been to the top of the world. I've climbed Mount Everest. No, and you've got a picture. Maybe you've got your phone there or something there that you can take a picture to tell the world, and you put it on your house and you can say, I've been on the top of Mount Everest. That's the prize. I've just told you what the price is. Minimum 1.5 million rand, 2 months of that it takes you to get up and down, intense preparation from your family, that your family needs to, I'm a man, I've got a wife, I've got kids, so if I decide to climb Mount Everest, I'm not paying the price just by myself. There's other people in my life that will be affected by my choice. So the price is not just my price to pay, it's my family will need to pay the price with me. And so the question is this, does the prize outweigh the price? And if you were to come to me today and you had to say to me, Christopher, I had the opportunity, I'm giving you the money, I'm giving you the leave, go on a sabbatical, you can climb Mount Everest, I would seriously consider climbing Mount Everest. Obviously my wife would have to say yes, it's not just my decision, and all of that, but ek sal dit ernstig oorweeg. Anyone with me? Who would consider seriously saying yes? If someone offered you, there you go. Who's saying no? I'm not doing it regardless. Aubrey and Phila. Joan, why not? Dave, why not? You see, if you are saying no, you're saying no because the price is outweighing the prize. But if you're saying yes, or you're saying, Christopher, I'm considering it, then you're saying, the prize, for me, I'm at least thinking about, the prize is more than the price. It comes down to this in life, and this is just an analogy, but when it comes to Christianity and our faith, the question is, does the prize outweigh the price for you? Or is the price higher than the prize? And I'm going to explain this and I'm going to unpack this. I'm going to read you John 3:16. For God so loved the world, you know the scripture, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If I look at that scripture, I'm looking, man, that sounds great. Man, who doesn't want not perish? I don't want to perish. That sounds wonderful. Eternal life, yes, I want that. That sounds great. Give it to me. Thank you. I'll have that. But if you've been a Christian for a month, you would know that that is just one side of the coin. There's another side of the coin where Jesus says things like, give up your life. Love others more than yourself. And then it comes down to, this sounds like a good prize to live for. I want to live for, like, if you promise me this, I'll take it. But if you've been a Christian like me for some time now, I've got my good days and I've got my not so good days. Julle dit geweet? Did you know that a pastor has not so good days? Did you know that a pastor can sometimes ask himself, Christopher, why are you living for God? Why are you every day going, praying and reading your Bible and laying down your life for other people? They don't even turn around sometimes to say thank you. On my not so good days, I ask myself, Christopher, why am I doing this? But then also, I have other moments, glorious moments, good moments, where I'm in the presence of God and I see Him, I see Jesus. And in that moment, you can ask me anything. And I say, God, I'll do anything for you. I'll surrender, I'll put everything on the table. That word that Johan shared about full surrender, it comes down to the price versus the price. It comes down to, what am I seeing? Am I seeing the price that God has for me, or am I looking fuss into the price? You see, this morning, if Christianity is for you about, I must do this, and I must do this, and I must do this, and I must read my Bible, and I must pray, and I must go to church. If your Christianity is like that, you have a high price Christianity, but you're not seeing the price. And I want to tell you that Christianity doesn't work if you only see the price that you need to pay. And if you're only seeing the price that you need to pay, it means, like Johan shared this morning, that you have forgotten the one who has paid the price for you. Because when we see the one who has paid the ultimate price, it's when we behold Him and the price He has paid, it's in that place that we start seeing the price. Revelation 21 verse 4. I mean, there can be no better promise in the Bible than this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the former things have passed away. I mean, who wants that? Sign me up. Sign me up. I want that. No more tears, no more death, no more pain. Geen hartseer, geen... But if you've been alive, you know that that's not exactly how the story goes. We are in this world, and I have cried. I have mourned. I feel pain, and things have not passed, former things have not passed away. I still struggle with sin. I still struggle with my selfish desires. I still struggle with Christopher. Nou wat nog om te noem van ander mense? And then I have my bad days, and in those bad days, scriptures like this become really difficult for me. Matthew 16. Then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. I mean, who in their right mind wants to deny themselves? Take up his cross and follow me. These prophetic words that came out before, like I did not tell anyone what I'm preaching on about today. No one. But can you see how God is speaking and how He's lining up things? Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake would find me. Who in their right mind wants to lose their life? And then you see Christianity comes down. It's this paradox. In one sense, that's why Jesus or Paul says in Corinthians, it says, like the salvation of God, the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. Because who in their right mind, wie in hulle regte kop, wants to lay down their life, deny themselves, lose their life? But it's if we understand, when we start to see the prize, it all comes together. It all starts making sense. But I want us to understand where we fit into this plan of God. And this, you see, we open our Bibles in the beginning, in Genesis 1. And we read in Genesis 1, verse 31. We read, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening and there was morning. It was the sixth day." So we open our Bibles, we read of the beginning, and we read that in the beginning, everything was good, okay? And so we don't have a problem with that. We believe, yes, everything was good. Adam and Eve messed it up and we kind of... And then we also read, that's the beginning of the Bible. And then we also read Revelation 21 verse 5. So we jump from the beginning to the end and we read, "And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making everything, all things new.' Also, He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And we, by faith, we believe that in the end, everything will be good. So the beginning is good, the end is good, but we're in the middle. And what hits us is that somehow in the middle, everything is not good. Because here in the middle, if you can put that next slide on, here in the middle we experience this: sin, tears, death, disappointment, pain, sickness, conflict, hatred, sorrow, unforgiveness, loss, heartache, divorce, difficulty. Who of you can relate with that? Is there any person sitting here today that says, "Christopher, I have not felt any of those things"? You would be a serial liar. So we read the beginning is good, the end is good, but this is where we find ourselves. And this is, it's not that all the time. I praise God that my life is filled with joy. My wife gives me joy, my children gives me joy. Living in Bonnievale gives me joy. But there are times in my life where I experience this. I struggle with myself. I struggle with my selfish ambition, my selfish desires. I struggle sometimes with unforgiveness. I've got pain and conflict in my life. I've got sin in my life. I've got disappointment. I've got... Sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm just like, man, it's tough to live. And that's where we find ourselves, in the middle. We know the beginning was good. We know the end will be good. But we are here in the middle where things are not always so good. And maybe for you this morning, you've got maybe you came to church, you've put a smile on your face. But maybe inward you really know that life is difficult. And when I'm not looking forward to tomorrow, because tomorrow a new week starts. And when a new week starts, I have to confront the demons of last week. The thing about this place where we find ourselves in this world is that we have a God in Christ Jesus, who is not unfamiliar with this. And that is the good news today, is that the Jesus that calls us to come to Him, the Jesus that says, behold, look at me today. The Jesus that dies on a cross, that faces death and sickness and disappointment. The Jesus that says, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That Jesus, who is God, is not unfamiliar with what we are going through. And Hebrews 4 verse 14 to 15 says, since we have a great high priest, say with me, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest. Say, do not. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. What this means is that God in Jesus Christ, the death that you have maybe experienced in some shape, size, or form, a loved one dying or someone dying, the pain that you've experienced, the heartache, the sorrow, the loss, the betrayal, the divorce, Jesus has experienced all those things. He's not only experienced them, He has put them on Himself when Jesus died on the cross. He knows what you know, and He knows it better. He's felt what you have felt, and He's felt it heavier. He has seen what you and I have seen, but He has seen more. There are people in this room that know the pain of divorce. And I remember when my parents divorced. There are people in this room that know that know betrayal, that have been betrayed by a friend, by people that you consider to be your friends, and one day they just walked away, broke the relationship. You see, the God that we serve in Jesus Christ, He knows this. He has Himself, not only died for this, but He's taken it onto Himself. So when you find yourself in a place or in a situation where you are saying, God, is there not another way? I've talked about some days I have a bad day and I say, God, is there not another way? And what I mean is, God, can you give me, maybe I can be a barista. Because I love coffee and the coffee loves me. So I'm just being real and honest. And don't worry, every pastor goes through, every person in life goes through this. There are days where I'm like, God, man, I don't want to. Like, I'm struggling to love myself. How can I love my wife and my kids? And amen. I see a reluctant amen. Look at the time here. Jesus said, if you are saying somewhere in your day, in your week, in your life, saying, man, is there not another way? You're in good company. Because Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 26. He was about to go to the cross. He was about to die. And then He said, my soul is very sorrowful. Some of us maybe picture Jesus just smiling, happy all the time. But Jesus said at one point, He said, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. In Afrikaans, kan ek nie maar eerder doodgaan nie. Dit sal beter wees as ek doodgaan. Remain here and watch with me. But look at what Jesus does. He doesn't, that's what He feels. And that's what you sometimes feel. It's like you feel sorrowful. You feel like it would be better if I could just die. Jesus felt that. He knows that too. But He doesn't stay there. He goes and He prays. The thing that you and I maybe, when we feel like that, the thing that we don't feel like doing is praying. Jesus didn't feel like praying, but he prayed. And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, I'm going to ask you, how can we pray a prayer that is contrary to what we are feeling? Do you agree with me when Jesus prays, "Father, let your will be done, not my will"? He's praying something that is contrary to what he's feeling inside. Because his Father's will for him was to die on the cross. And he's feeling like, "I don't want to do this. Is there not another way?" And the answer, and this morning there is an answer. You see, in that moment in the garden, Jesus knew that he was coming from the Father. Hy het geweet waar hy vandaan kom. He knew he was coming from the Father. He knew that his beginning was good. It was in God's will. And he knew what would be the end result of him dying on the cross. But just like us, Jesus finds himself in the middle and he's saying, "Man, is there not another way?" So how can you and I, when we're in this place in life where things are not going well, where things are not going according to plan, we find ourselves in this middle space where we are surrounded and we are faced with sin, with sickness, with disappointment, with death, and we don't have answers for it, how can we pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed? How can we not just pray the prayer, but how can we stay the course and stop asking ourselves, "Is there not another way?" And the answer is in Hebrews 12, verse 2. If you want to know what made Jesus pray, "Father, not your will be done, not my will be done, but your will be done." This is the answer. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, that's now you and me. We need to look to Jesus, like Johan said, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. And here's the key part. Who for the joy, say with me, read with me. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. Jesus endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him. Jesus endured the cross. He saw the prize. And when he saw the prize outweighed the price. This morning I want to ask you the question. Your Christianity, what is it? Are you seeing the prize? Or are you seeing the price? I have to do this. Oh, the pastor, he wants us to go on this camp now in September. Oh, this week is combined community. Oh, I must go there. Or, oh, I'm behind on my Bible reading plan. I must read my Bible. Oh, I must pray. Are you seeing the price? Or are you seeing the prize that God has for you? Because the prize that God has for me and for you, it's not a prize that this world can give us. It's not a worldly prize. Like I said earlier, the world will give us many things. Many, and don't get me wrong, nice things. The world will give you pleasure. It will even give you joy. But the world will never give you peace. And that what seems to give you joy in a moment, that joy runs out tomorrow, or a week later, or a month later, or 10 years from now. But God alone can give us peace. You see, in life, if you're a true Christian, you will be confronted. You will be confronted between the reality in your life, between the prize and the price. Don't get me wrong, daar is 'n prys. Jesus did say, deny yourself, take up your cross. Don't live for you. Don't you live for the things that give you joy. Don't live for the things that make you happy. You see, that's the world. The world says, do what makes you happy. Be yourself. It's not in the Bible. It sounds nice. It sounds good. And we bite into it like Eve bought into that apple. And we think we can be God. We can become like God. We are the masters of our own fate. But that's the gospel of the world. It will give you joy. It will give you happiness even for a moment, but it will not give you peace. And this morning, if you are here today and you alone can give an account. Jy alleen kan rekenskap gee for where you find yourself in your relationship to God. And you alone know this morning, am I seeing eternity? Am I seeing eternity and what God promises me for eternity? Because when I see eternity, giving up silly things in my life, giving up sin in my life, I can only do that if I see eternity. I can only forgive someone who has wronged me if I see eternity. But if I don't see eternity, I will not forgive my brother or my sister who has wronged me. If I don't see eternity, I will not lay down my life for someone else. If I don't see eternity, why am I reading my Bible? Why am I sacrificing? Why am I denying myself if I'm doing it, but I'm not seeing eternity? Does it make sense? For some of us here this morning, the price of following Christ has become so high. The price, and there is a price. I don't deny there's a price. I'm being honest here. This past year, not once, a few times this year, I have fluctuated in my own walk with the Lord. I have fluctuated between seeing the price and then feeling the price, like, man, I don't want to do this. I'm just being real and vulnerable here. And I had to get to a point, I think 2-3 weeks ago, where I'm like, Christopher, you are not seeing the price. You are not beholding the price that Jesus has paid for you. Turn your eyes and see. Kyk, behold Jesus. And when you see Him, oh, the price. Ask me anything. Let's pray. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've realized in my own life, in my own walk with the Lord, when I don't see the prize, my Christianity becomes joyless. If I only, as ek net die prys sien, my Christianity becomes heavy. Reading my Bible becomes heavy. Praying becomes heavy. Worship becomes heavy. Heavy means I don't want to do it. I'd rather not do it. I'd rather watch a movie. I'd rather watch a series. I'd rather do something else. I want to ask you this morning, is your Christianity heavy? Has it become heavy? I want to ask you this morning, is there sin in your life that's causing you not to see eternity? Because that's what sin does. It blinds us. It makes us blind. Sin blinds us to the reality of who God is. And God in His grace this morning is here to love and forgive and to put His arms around you. But you have to turn to Him this morning. And I just feel like for someone here today, today is like a big day. It's like today's life or death. This vandaag leven of dood. And I'm going to speak to you and everyone here as people who would call themselves all Christians. Is there someone here today that would openly say, Christopher, I don't consider myself to be a Christian? But is there anyone like that today? I don't think so. But if there is, I would respect that, and that's okay. So I'm addressing us all as people who claim to be followers of Christ Jesus, who claims to be disciples of Jesus. I would consider everyone in front of me then today as someone who says, Christopher, I see Jesus. Or at least in my life, I have seen Him. I'm not sure about this morning. So with every eye closed, with every head bowed, has your Christianity become heavy? Have you lost the joy? I don't know about you, but I remember when I gave my life to the Lord when I was 16 years old. Man, you couldn't put the smile off my face. I had real joy because somehow I just understood. I understood what God had done for me is a miracle. But then we start living for Christ and we start walking with Him and our hearts get lured by the things of this world and all those negative things, sin, death, disappointment, loss, brokenness, relationships, it happens, divorce, all those things happen. And then somehow in that place, our hearts grow cold and our hearts go hard and we lose sight of the prize and all we see is the price we need to pay. And then Christianity becomes this difficult, heavy thing. And this morning, Jesus is here to call you to Him. And He wants to lift the burden. He says, come to me, all who are heavy laden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christianity is supposed to be a thing that comes with great joy. Church is supposed to be a place filled with great joy, people of joy. Our gatherings, our meetings, our everything is supposed to be filled with joy because we are people who look forward to the prize.